Well, since I didn't go around and shake everybody's hand, and good morning. Jeremiah 29:11 states, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Very familiar to most of you. And I've known this verse in my entire life, but the words and the promise from the Lord came alive in my life about 2 months ago. Though I put up a very brave front, I'd been heavily grieving since Bob's death in March. I was amazed at how everything in my life had changed in the blink of an eye with his last breath. After prodding from my kids, I reached out to a grief counselor from Unity Point Hospice. She listened to me as I told her about my feelings of guilt. Guilt for having a short temper at times as I listened to the same question over and over and over, and answered that same question over and over and over. I felt mad for his leaving me in such a financial mess and never letting me in on our financial matters, and I felt sad for obvious reasons. I felt so alone and experienced every possible feeling for the loss of my soulmate. Before Bob was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, we had a wonderful, wonderful life. We talked all the time, laughed, joked, played pranks on each other, played cards every night, entertained regularly, went to the movies, shopped together, went on day trips, and loved just being together, and I loved being married to that man. So the grief counselor suggested that I start writing our story. So I did, and it was cathartic in a way. I remembered things both he and I had said as we began our journey together. I laughed and cried, but most of all, I was glad that I could remember such good times. The story is not finished and won't be for a long time, but one day I intend to share it with my granddaughters. One evening last June, after having a particularly bad day of pity party, the phone rang, and I answered to hear the voice of a lifelong friend, a childhood friend from a lifetime ago. Her name is Laura. We've been friends since she was 6 and I was 4. We were inseparable in the summertime and played every chance we could get during the year. Her family moved out of town while she was in high school, but we vowed to keep in touch, and we did just that. She and me visiting each other regularly for the first several years, and then less frequently as the years passed, but the phone calls continued, as did the letters. She cheered me on via long distance as my children were born, and I hers. So it was not unusual that she would be calling, except for the fact that she stated I had been on her mind all day, and so felt a tug on her heart to reach out. I burst into tears the instant I heard her voice and began to tell her that I was a mess. I was having so much trouble with grief. I had no energy, no ambition. All I wanted to do was sleep, read, or cry. I told her I felt pressured to begin packing up years of memories, but I had no get up, no go. And then she said, "You're describing classic depression." Then she asked me one simple question. "Kathy, have you forgiven yourself?" "What do you mean?" She said, "You feel guilt, sadness, and anger. But as you prayed for patience and compassion, forgiveness and relief, and all the other strengths you needed, God listened and forgave you. Now it's time for you to forgive yourself. You did all you could for Bob while he was alive. You made sure his needs came before your own. You cared for him while he was still at home. You made sure he was comfortable. And when you couldn't keep him at home any longer, you made sure that he was in a safe place, a comfortable place, a place where he would be looked after just as if he were at home. You made sure he had familiar things around him and you saw him every day. You have to forgive yourself. God has plans for you, great plans for you, for me. You and Bob had 22 wonderful years together, but now the Lord has plans for you as you move forward and move upward. You are entering another phase of your life. Just think what the Lord has in store for you. She then quoted Jeremiah 29:11, and it was as if I was hearing it for the very first time. The Lord has plans for me. I heard it, and I finally got it. She then said, I want to tell you a story. It was a story of a man, I'll call Steve because I can't remember what his name is. And I forgot to tell you that her husband's a preacher in Omaha, Nebraska. His sermon the past Sunday had been on moving upward and forward. After his sermon, he gives his congregation a chance to share an experience or a story, or just give praise to God. This guy, Steve, stands up and says he'd like to share something. Now, Steve is an extreme kind of guy, climbs mountains, dives with sharks, you know the kind of guy. Well, I don't. Anyway, he had just finished climbing Mount Rainier with an experienced guide. Mount Rainier at its summit is 14,400-ish feet. And when they were close to the summit, the guide decided that it was time for them to stop, rest, and refresh, start up again in the morning. I don't know, but I guess there are camps along the way that they can stop and get out of the elements, etc. Anyway, at about 2:30 that morning, the guide woke Steve up and said that they needed to get started again. Well, Steve looked out and saw that it was pitch black, very foggy, very misty, thought, how in the world are we ever going to see anything? They would have headlamps on, but just as headlights in a fog are no good, headlamps aren't very, very helpful either. Anyway, he said, how are we going to see? I can't see my hand in front of my face. We have headlamps, but I still won't be able to see very far. The guy just looked at him and said, just follow my footsteps and don't look back. What powerful words of trust. When they reached the summit, they witnessed a glorious sunrise, but more important was that Steve's eyes were opened, and he totally got it. Just follow my footsteps and don't look back. A life-changing moment. He knew he would follow Jesus for the rest of his life, moving upward and forward. And as Laura finished relating the story to me, I had the biggest aha moment of my life. I got it. I finally got it. Since I was a small child, I've known that Jesus is my Savior. And I believed. But these words jolted me out of my complacency. I will really follow him and not look back, moving upward and forward. Yes, the Lord has plans for me. Now, this could be the end of the story, but it's not. The plans have already begun. As you know, I'm moving to Georgia to be closer to my family. Not only did God find me a permanent place to live, but he found me a temporary home, both brand new, both close to my family, both of his choosing. Shortly after I spoke to Laura, I was talking with my kids one Saturday, and in the middle of the conversation, we have a conference with all four. In the middle of the conversation, I thought, oh, I want to get a tattoo, and I want you guys to get one with me. Now, my granddaughter, who I thought would really dig this idea, one went, ew, Grandma, and the other one said, do you know how dangerous that is, Grandma? And my daughter, who had wanted one when she was in high school, and I forbade it, said, Mother, I have no idea what's happening to you, but I don't think that's a good idea. And Mary, Shane's wife, had gotten two tattoos when she was younger, and as you grow, they spread. And she said, you know, I thought it was a great idea at the time, but they don't look so hot anymore. She said, I don't think this is a good idea. Well, I said, I don't care, guys. I'm going to do this. You don't have to do it, but I'm going to. And I thought, what can I get? What's going to be meaningful to me? Well, the next day I was watching golf, as I always do on Sunday, and I looked on my wall on my left side of my family room, and there hung footprints in the sand that I had cross-stitched. And I thought, oh, that's it. Footprints. I'll get footprints. But where? I can't put them on my foot. Nobody'd see them. I can't put them on my back. Nobody'd see them. I can't put them. I got to put them where somebody's going to see them. I said, well, I'll think about that later. Well, every morning, like I'm sure most of you do, I spend a little time with God in devotion. And the first one I read that morning said, I have you engraved on my palms of my hands. What? He was speaking to me. He wanted them on the palms of my hands. Well, which one? Right, left, both? So I kind of let that slide. The next day, the very next day, my devotional said, I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Well, there again was my answer, my right hand. So on the right hand, I will have 3 footprints tattooed. Haven't done it yet because I haven't got the courage up. Every time I look at my hand, I will remember the moment that I needed, that I realized that I needed to follow the footsteps and not look back. Plus, it's a double thing. When I go to shake somebody's hand, they're going to see these footprints on my palm. I understand that's really painful to have that on your palm, so I've really got to get the courage up. Anyway, I'll shake hands with people. And of course, somebody's going to say, what's that for? And I'm going to tell them, because I'm following God's footsteps and not looking back. I tell you all this because God has plans for you too. His plans are for good. And if you trust him, you have both a future and a hope. How do I know this is absolutely and utterly true? Because I have lived it, because I am living it. To God be the glory, great things he hath done, and will continue to do if we only trust him. Amen.